great being rich.
Thanks. I know.
But can it buy happiness?
Yeah, of course money can buy happiness. It's absolute nonsense when people say money can't buy happiness. Tell me something in your life that's worse when you've got money.
That's different though, worse, right? So most people then might say
No, answer the question. What is worse with money?
Tax bill.
Well, you have to make money to pay tax.
Yeah.
So would you rather have no tax bill, therefore no money, or £100 million tax bill because you made £1 billion?
Yeah, I'd take that one.
There you go. So what is worse with money? Is traveling worse with money or better with money?
Better.
Yeah. People say, oh, well, health is more important, but you stay more healthy the more wealthy you are. Do you know the word wealth actually historically comes from weal? Weal means well-being. And if you look back through history, the wealthiest people lived the longest because they could afford the best doctors. Because now we all take it for granted we can get a doctor. Well, you can't on the NHS, but you used to be able to. But back in the day, a doctor was kind of a luxury. Access to a good doctor was a luxury, and you had to be rich. And now if you look at all the biohackers, you know that guy Brian Johnson spending $2 million a year to elongate his life. And, you know, biohacking and cryotherapy and eating really good organic foods and really good supplementation and, you know, analysing all your body composition and your bloods all the time. It's really expensive. So tell me one thing that's worse with money.
Yeah, I think you are right. I suppose even the one thing that most people go to is like, oh, family brings me happiness. But I suppose if you've got money, you can spend more time with your family because you're not having to work the 12-hour shift or whatever it is.
Well, that's it. And you can be generous to them. And maybe you could even retire them. I've retired my parents, as you know. I mean, my mum chooses to work, but she doesn't have to. And my mum and dad retired with, you know, barely 1 year's living expenses. And my dad was in his 50s and my mum was in her 40s. They were forced into having to quit their pub. And within, what, 2 or 3 years of starting my business, I was able to buy them a house and buy them a car and retire them. And that's not made our relationship worse. Yeah. That's made our relationship better. Now, look, if you make a lot of money, people can be jealous. People will troll you. But I'd rather have jealousy and trolling for being rich than not be able to afford to do anything because I'm poor. I think a lot of people make the point that money doesn't make you happy in and of itself as a concept. So I still disagree with that. Because are you happier or less happy if I put £1 million cash on the table? If I put £1 million cash on the table, you're probably going to get an erection.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. You're probably going to get physically excited.
Yeah.
Yeah? Or are you just going to get sadder? So, and by the way, usually when people say money doesn't make you happy, it's broke people. Have you ever heard a billionaire say, oh, I hate all this money, just take it away from me? No. And even when they give it away because they gain happiness from giving it away. So you gain happiness in making it because you know you're useful and it's a way of keeping score. And so you make money, you think I've done something that's valuable. And so you gain a sense of happiness in pursuing money. And then you gain a sense of happiness in giving it away because you feel useful and valuable to others.
So let me ask you something then. So if I agree with you on the first bit, but I actually think the money bit itself, although yes, I would feel excited you putting it there. I do just think it's more the opportunity of what you could do with it. Because I think it was...
But is an opportunity exciting? Doesn't opportunity make you happy? Doesn't the lack of opportunity make you unhappy? And isn't money opportunity?
Yeah, I think so. But that's what I mean. It's more of the tool of money rather than the paper of money. Because I think it was you that said you've got a friend that sold a company and said it was the worst day of his life. Was that you? It might have been somebody else.
Yeah, so my friend Neville Wright sold his company. And yeah, he said it was the worst day of his life, but it wasn't because of the money in the bank. It was because of, I think, what he realised he's done. And of course, now he's got no purpose in life. And now he's sold it. He sold it to a company that took it from 70 million to 2 million in not very long. And so clearly, I mean, you know the building, don't you? I won't say the name of the company just in case, but you know, that's a derelict building now and it's huge. and those staff were probably all laid off. So it wasn't the money. I'm sure he loved the money. Did he give the money back? No, he didn't give the money back. He kept the money.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the money that made him feel lost and empty. It was the lack of purpose. And by the way, money can give you more purpose because you've got fuel. Let's say you want to be a YouTuber like Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast famously plows loads of his money back into his YouTube channel. So money can fuel vision and purpose. And everything that says money doesn't buy, it actually does.
Mm. What can't it buy then?
Well, that's my point. I don't know what money can't do because it's a universal tool.
Yeah.
Money can do everything. Money can make you live longer. Money can buy you time back, because if you don't have money, you have to sell your time for money. If you have money, you can buy back your time. Everyone says money is nowhere near as important as time, but money buys time. And if you don't have it, you have to sell it, i.e. sell yourself and sell your life. So I can't think of anything that money doesn't make better. Now, for a second, let's say I side with the people who say that money doesn't buy happiness. But money isn't everything, but everything is better with money. So then money is everything. And maybe money doesn't make you happy, but being broke makes you unhappy.
Mm.
Don't most marriages end in divorce because of money-related struggles and issues and arguments? Don't people lie when they don't have money and cheat people over when they don't have money when they're broke? Now, I know rich people can do that too, but you have to do it when you're broke. You have to beg and borrow and steal when you're broke. You have to. It's a choice to when you're rich. Just means you're a greedy criminal, but you have to do it when you're broke.
Prime example, Jay-Z. He sold crack, funded his music career. He's probably not selling crack on the street anymore.
No, probably not.
He's a billionaire, right?
I think. Is he?
I think between them, maybe.
Yeah.
So I kind of get that. All right, so that leads me on to another point. So I went down a bit of a rabbit hole of these misconceptions or things that probably broke people say. And one of them was money changes people.
Money doesn't change you, it just makes you more of what you already are. Money is an accelerant. Anything you want to do, you can do quicker with money. You can travel quicker with money because you can jump queues and go to private and not have to wait hours at the airport. You can go to a more specific location as long as you've got a landing strip with private. If you have a driver, they pick you up where you are and take you door to door. You can travel first class on a train and be more comfortable, arrive fresher. Sorry, what was the question?
Money changes people.
Yeah. So money is an accelerator. Money won't make you greedy. You are already greedy because you are a human and every human has the trait of greed. Money won't make you evil because evil is a human trait, not a money trait. Now, some people say that money corrupts. I think billions can bring out the power and corruption nature in humans. But money can also bring out the philanthropic nature in humans. There are many billionaires giving their entire fortune away. You can't give away when you're broke. So no, money does not change you. It can change the people around you.
How so?
Well, let's say you won 100 million on the lottery and all your friends knew. They now may change how they view you. Sorry?
They're going to suck up.
Yeah, right. They want something from you. They'll get entitled. They'll be like, well, you don't deserve that. You're lucky. You should give me some of that. I'm your mate. I've done this for you. And so I think money changes people around you more than it changes you.
Have you had any experience with that?
Just quickly. Can you edit the bit out where I said, what's the question again? Because it just loses the flow.
Have you got any examples of people changing around you?
Yeah. So when I started my business, it made people feel uncomfortable. One, because I wasn't going down the pub anymore or going out, getting drunk, being a lad. But seeing me on a personal growth journey and seeing me start to make money highlighted in others their own failings and flaws. And I know because when I was broke and I saw rich people, the same scab was picked in me. Now the ego goes, they're drug dealers. They screw people over. You know, rich people are really bad for society. They don't pay any taxes. They break the law. They screw us all over. And occasionally they do, but mostly millionaires and billionaires, mostly have provided a lot of value for society. And it's a regulator's job to regulate them. It's not the billionaire's job. So I saw people resent me because they realized they should be stepping up and they weren't prepared to. And it was easier to make an excuse to say, oh, well, Rob's become a twat now. Rob thinks he's bigger now. Look at Rob, the entrepreneur millionaire now. And so people find it uncomfortable when you grow beyond them. And what they'll do is they'll want to pull you down back to their level to feel comfortable. So I don't know if you've ever heard of the analogy of the crabs in a barrel.
No.
But a crab fisherman just chuck the crabs in a bucket and no crabs get out of the bucket, because as soon as one crab tries to get out of the bucket, the other crabs pull them back in. And so if you're the crab that's trying to get out of the bucket, all the other crabs with the big claws are going to pull you back in. And so that does happen. And you get way more hate when you're rich than when you're broke. Way more. You get way more entitlement. People pitch to you all the time. They think it's your birthright to give them money. At the same time, some of your close friends will support you no matter what. And they're the ones that you know really are friends.
So let me challenge you a little bit. Last...
You don't have to like... ask for permission to challenge me. You can just fucking challenge me.
Let's go into it, man. So money doesn't change people. But then you said when you started your business, you did change. You stopped going to the pub. You weren't being the lad. And you were changing what you were doing or focusing on.
Yeah, I decided to change before the money came in. No money came in. And then I decided to be an entrepreneur. I decided to be an entrepreneur. And I worked 70, 80 hours a week, sometimes more. Started earlier, finished later, learned more, grafted harder, read more, got more mentors, and the money came afterwards. Mm. So no, money didn't change me. I changed me and then I got more money.
You have to deserve it, right?
Deserving's an interesting word because a lot of people think they deserve it because they were born, and a lot of people think they don't deserve it because they have a lot of baggage and trauma. In reality, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you negotiate.
Explain that more to me.
What I mean by that is, I'm not deserving because I was born and I'm a human and I have a heartbeat and we're all one and connected and love and I deserve equal treatment to everyone else. No, I get what I hustle. I get what I learn. I get what I work. I get what I negotiate. If I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, he owes me some money. He's asked for an extension. He's a friend. I'll give him the extension. I know he's good for it because we've known each other for probably 15 years. He admitted to me that the deal we did that he's struggling to pay on, he didn't negotiate very well and I negotiated better. But because we're a friend, he's not going to renege on it. So he's paying me the money. And he's like, well, you know, I paid you more than I wanted to, but I did the deal. So it's not like I deserved more or he deserved less. I just negotiated well. Now, that same friend, I've spoken to him. Now, that same friend, I've spoken at some big events of his and he's got a better deal than me. And it's not like he or I deserved better or worse. It's just he or I negotiated the deal better. Mm. So get good at selling, get good at marketing. You don't get what you deserve, you get what you negotiate.
So another thing that keeps coming up, I spent quite a lot of time scrolling through subreddits.
You need to change your laptop setting where the screen stays on the whole time. I used to have that when I interviewed my guests. It's really distracting, isn't it?
Next time.
Yeah. It took me like 2 weeks to figure out on the laptop where it was. Yeah.
No matter where I look, whether it's on TikTok or YouTube, or look in the comment section of these money videos, people always bring it back to family. Like, I'd rather a family that loves me, or I'd rather family, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, but let me, before you ask, say this. Why do you have to choose between A or B? Why can't you?
If you love to travel like me and you understand the power in escaping the money for time exchange trap, but you just don't know how to do it, then building an Airbnb consultancy business could be exactly what you have been looking for. Right now in the UK, there is a completely untapped opportunity through helping struggling Airbnb hosts by turning around their underperforming properties and generating you huge commission payments in the process. We are going to teach you all of the tools and all of the techniques that we've learned over the last 5 years through building our very own multiple six-figure Airbnb business, arming you with everything that you need to swoop in and save the day. Minimal startup costs, zero risk, and almost unlimited potential. Sound good? Welcome to the Airbnb Consultant. contact us through any of the channels included in the studio notes to get the conversation started.
Have A and B. Why can't you have family time and love and connection and money? Where's there a law that says you can only have one or the other? People always do that. They always say, oh, well, I won't have money at the expense of. You don't have to. You can have money in addition of. My relationship with my family is way better now I'm rich. When I was broke, I had to. So I've not said this before, but, you know, I've pinched bits of money off my mum and dad from like age 7 and 8 and even, you know, my late teens and early 20s, might have pocketed a 20 from the till or whatever. I actually sat them down. How old was I? 28. I'd made a decent amount of money. And I sat them down and I just gave them all the cash I'd saved. I'd got myself 50 grand out of debt. I'd made nearly 100 grand a year. And I gave them this lump of money. It was thousands. It was infinitely more than I'd ever pinched out of my mum's handbag for a pound of, nick a pound here or there for some sweets, nick 20 out of the till or whatever. It's only small, but they're my mum and dad. And I feel awful saying that I did that, but I did it. I did it because I was broke. I didn't do it because I'm an awful person. You do what you have to do when you're broke. And when I became rich and made money, I gave them thousands more than I'd ever, you know, borrowed here. Oh, well, they won't mind. No, I pinched it. And the connection that was rebuilt and the sense of self-worth and ownership, being able to just go, I never have to take from you again. I never have to ask from you again. I was always asking my dad to borrow money because I was broke. Now, my dad came up to me a couple of weeks ago and said, oh, son, just give us 500 quid. I just need it for this. There you go. It's there. Oh, son, give us 300 quid. I just need it for this. It's there.
Did they know you was nicking that money?
Of course they did. Let's put it into context here. I was nicking that money. Name me someone who hasn't taken 20p or 50p or a pound out of their mum's handbag when they were a kid. Name me someone who hasn't slipped a tenner or a 20 out. It wasn't thousands. But I feel guilt on these things. And I did that because I was broke. I never did it when I was rich. In fact, I do the opposite. You know, whenever I split money with my business partner, and I always give him a bit more. When I'm in a taxi, I round it up. So if it's 21, it's 30 or 40. If it's 11, it's 20 that I give them. And you should see people's face light up when the taxi fare was 21 and you give them two 20s, it's 40 quid. It's nothing, it's 19 quid. But no one does that. I always buy dinners. It's very rare anyone can ever get me to buy. It's very rare that anyone can ever buy dinner for me, because I remember when I was broke, my ex-girlfriend, so this was like 20 years ago, she had quite a good job. She earned pretty decent money for Peterborough. And I was absolutely broke. And I said to her, look, I can't go. And she's like, don't worry, I'll pay. And one time's kind of fine. But then it was like every time we went out, she paid, to the point where it was humiliation for me. I felt shame. I felt embarrassment. I felt emasculated. Way before all these influencers were talking about it, I was living it. And it was shit. And I remember probably 2 years after we split up, I wrote her a check for quite a few grand and I just sent it to her.
Did she cash it?
She fucking cashed it. Yeah, she did. And I'm glad she did. And it was way more than she ever. She wasn't keeping a tally, yeah, saying, right, I paid 60 quid for this dinner, 100 quid for this dinner. She wasn't. She was just generous. But it feels awful not to be able to pay your way. It feels awful not to be generous or to have to penny pinch or not be able to do things because you can't afford it. And it's great to be able to do it and to give.
Yeah, I think, is that challenging when you first get money within a friendship group to then? So if you're the first one to make money amongst your friends, does it kind of feel shit? Because you're like, I've got money and I want to do these things, but no, they can't do it.
No.
You just find new friends, don't do the things?
No, why should I feel shit because I've been successful? I should feel shit if I've made my money immorally or illegally. I should feel shit if I'm not owning my own life. But why should I feel shit because I'm the only one in my circle that's rich? In fact, I feel good because now we go out, I can pay. So when I meet my old school friends and my old university friends, they'll all tell you, I'm always the one paying.
Too right.
And they don't ask, and they're not expecting of me, because my school friends and my university friends, two specific groups, we get on really well, and they've always accepted me. And when I changed for the good, they liked that about me. They didn't dislike that about me. In fact, I was probably a bit of a twat at school and at university, so they were probably quite pleased. But no, I'm always paying, and I don't feel shit about that at all.
What's the phrase? People want you to do well, but never better than them.
Yeah, but some of my friends, they don't really care, and they're good friends to have. Now, in business, you need people that push you and drive you. So, yeah, people want you to do well, but not better than them. In some ways, that's motivating, though. If you're in a group of people who want you to do well, but not better than them, but they are learning and growing and hustling and you're competing, that is really healthy, as long as it doesn't turn into, you know, toxic behaviours or passive aggression or talking shit behind your back or getting in your way. If anyone does any of that, then they're gone, because I've got one life and I can't carry all these people with me. I don't say anything. I just let them go.
Distance yourself slowly.
Yeah,
distance.
Or quickly. But it's distance. It's not like you're fired as a mate. You don't need to go around telling everyone, because I'm no better a person that I'm rich. They're no better a person than they're broke. And they're no worse a person that they're trying to hold me down. They're just trying to cope with their emotions of how they feel. It's just, I don't want to be around those kind of people, because I'm going that way and they're going that way.
Well, let's talk about being a good person, because what is it about... Do you think when someone reaches such a level of wealth, so the multi-billionaires, that they're just bored and they want a new game, and now they're getting into like Trump being politician, the president, you know, and it becomes a power thing. Do you reckon that's everyone? Like, as soon as you hit a certain status, why do people's personalities tend to change?
I don't know that they do. Where's the evidence that their personalities change? I mean, look at Trump when he wrote Art of the Deal, what, in the 80s, and look at him now. To me, it's the same guy. He's just in a different field, and now everyone knows him. You know when you see people blow up and you're like, well, they came out of nowhere. No, they hustled for 10 years. You know, you see the swan on the lake. Well, if you can see their legs, when they kick up, they're kicking like mad underneath. So no, I don't think these people change. I think they evolve. I do accept that having a vast amount of money can give you a sense of power or elevated sense of worth. One of the traits of virtually every billionaire, even going back centuries, is that they believe that they are destined for greatness. Like, it's their destiny. That scale and that level of power and that ability to mold the world to them and mobilize millions of people and control millions of people. This is a common trait of billionaires. And that's not for the meek and mild. That's not for the humble and private. You know, that is for a larger than life person who you can understand why they're going to move into power and corruption. But, you know, broke people have the same traits. Broke people control people and corrupt. They just do it to individuals, not nations, because they're not big enough to be able to do it to nations. So I think if you actually look at the evidence and you take the bias of money away, how can a tool corrupt? A hammer is really good at nailing in a nail, and it's really good at pulling out a nail. It's also really good for smashing someone's skull in. You could smash someone's skull in defense because they've come to murder, rape your family and rob you of everything in your house. This happens in many, you know, non-well-governed countries. What are you going to do? Just let them do it, or grab the hammer and smash them to death? So you could do it in defense, or you could do it as aggression. But whether you hammer a nail or lift out a nail or protect yourself in self-defense or murder someone, that was not the hammer. The hammer is just a good tool for those different functions. Money's the same. Money isn't conscious. Money doesn't have values. Money doesn't have morals. Money doesn't have favorites. Money moves from those who value it least to those who value it most. Money flows from those who manage it worst to those who manage it best. Money loves to move from friction to speed. These are the rules of money, but it's not conscious. It doesn't judge, doesn't have a value system. Humans have all these things, and humans choose what they do with money. So no one's kicking off that a hammer makes you evil and corrupt and powerful, even though a hammer can do that in the wrong hands. But they are kicking off about it with money. It really confuses me. My mission is to help as many people on this planet get better financial knowledge. People don't even know what money is. And I don't understand why people get so morally high grounding and judgmental around money. Like, even the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. Evil is the root of all evil, and money can't be evil. A hammer can't be evil unless it's used by an evil person. Money can't be evil unless it's used by an evil person.
Because you've done the actual quote there, because people misquote that all the time.
Yeah, they say money is the root of all evil. Yeah. But that's not the quote. The quote is, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So there's actually three there. And actually, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil is slightly more accurate than the love of money is the root of all evil, which is slightly more accurate than money is the root of all evil. But they're all inaccurate. But how do we know that that was even said by Jesus? And of course, how do we know if Jesus was even real? We don't know. We haven't got proof. True. We've got scripture. Now, I know some people are going to troll me for that because they strongly believe in Jesus. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But, you know, if you wrote me an email and we waited 3,000 years, that the context of that could change just by how language evolves. So let's say you wrote me three paragraphs in an email. In 3,000 years, the way we use language will be so different. Us understanding this language from 3,000 years ago, how can we? Like, my daughter says, slay. And to slay, what I used to know, was when you're playing a computer game and you slay a dragon. You know, to slay a dragon is to kill the dragon and own the dragon. And apparently slay means something good now.
Yeah.
You know, like, shit. You've got no shit, the shit, it shit, different definitions of just the word shit.
Yeah.
So, like, imagine 3 years, 3,000 years forward. So I imagine when the Bible was written, there was a lot more context to the love of money as the root of all kinds of evil. And I mean, the Ten Commandments are pretty solid. So however the Bible came to be, there was some wisdom behind it. And therefore, they must have known that the love of money isn't the root of all evil. Because being broke and completely in survival mode is also the root of evil. Like, if you have no money to eat, you would kill someone to eat. If your kids are starving, you would kill someone to feed them. Is that not evil? Just like if you're a billionaire, you can make some pharmaceutical drugs, which, it'll kill a few people in the test. So what? It's worth it for the profits. It's no fucking different.
How about people that, you know, if they're talking about the lottery, I don't even want to win the lottery. I just want to win enough to be comfortable. Something I've heard quite a few times.
Yeah, well, comfort is the enemy of greatness. It is no one's purpose in life to be comfortable. Like, look at the universe and how it works and try and show me where comfort is purpose. Do you think a lion's comfortable and chilling, or do you think a lion's always looking for its next meal? Do you think the gazelle that gets hunted by the lion is comfortable and chilling, or always on guard for the lion? I don't know if you've ever seen a slow-mo of a crab shedding its skin, or a crustacean. It's awesome. You should watch it. I don't know if we can put one on. But that thing has to struggle like mad. I mean, imagine a crab shell trying to shed it and get out of it. You know, all these big spiders, the snakes that shed their skin. It's a struggle. You know, when you see an acorn grow roots in the earth, it's a struggle. You know, when you go to the gym and build muscle, it's a struggle. You know, when you're on jiu-jitsu and you tap someone out, it's a struggle. All growth comes from struggle. No growth comes from comfort. So people who say, oh, I just want to make enough money to be comfortable, are naive and they don't understand how the universe works. And here's the thing. If you made enough money to be comfortable in 10 years, you need probably double that at the rate of inflation, because inflation erodes the value of your money and people don't put inflation into the mix. So if you need 10 grand a month to be comfortable now, you need 20 grand a month, which is the same as 10 grand a month. That it might be a bit longer, but in reality, inflation's more than they say. So anyone desiring comfort is looking in the wrong place. Being a millionaire isn't comfortable. Being a billionaire is even less uncomfortable. It's just new level, new devil. Being broke is hard. Being a millionaire is hard. Choose your hard.
There's no getting out of it.
No, either way, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, but I personally can't live with myself knowing I could have been more and done more, and I didn't. So whatever challenges and pains and judgment and ridicule and trolling and all, I could list 100 things that's harder being a millionaire than being a zeroer, but I'd choose them every day of the week over the hundreds of things that were hard being broke.
So let me ask you, you've had money for a long time now. What's one of the things that people don't talk about that's one of the best benefits of being rich? So the cars and the watches and the holiday is fine. I think it's like easy.
I think it's access and speed.
How do you mean?
Well, if I want to get a really good guest on this show and I want it quicker, I can just pay them if I want. If I want to get to another country really quickly, I can just pay for the flight now and not book it a year in advance to have to get it cheaper, and I can pay for business and be comfortable and arrive energized and do work on the plane. I can have my driver take me from A to B rather than have to get the train and do a diversion and have delays and blah, blah, blah. I can join masterminds that 100 millionaire plus people run and learn what I need to know to scale my business without maybe going through the challenges and pains myself. So the best things about money are access and speed that people don't really talk about. You can make anything better and faster and open doors you wouldn't normally get opened with money.
I like the mastermind thing. So this is something I've been listening to a lot about recently, which is like ignorance tax. So you either do the thing poorly and learn the lesson, which takes time and money, or you can just pay someone who's already been there to teach you how to do it. You do it quicker, which takes time. No, it takes money, but no time.
Yes, I've never heard the phrase ignorance tax. Our phrase is your entrance fee. So if you want to go to a private school, you have an entrance fee. If you want to go to a private members club, you have an entrance fee. You always have an entrance fee. I would rather my entrance fee is money so I can increase access and speed than my entrance fee be ignorance, mistakes, failure. Which if you try and do it on your own, that's what you get. So yeah, I like that, ignorance tax. I call it entrance fee. You always pay.
Yeah.
Everything you do, you always pay. You've just got to look at, okay, how do I want to pay? So I paid for my sister to have her kidney removed when she was near death. She had sepsis. I paid for my friend's son to be at emergency flown back to the UK and have a brain operation, otherwise he would have died. And I got abuse for doing that. And I know it sounds really weird, but people are, oh, you're just doing that as a marketing tool. Oh, you know, people set up charities just to run their expenses down. There's a saying, no good deed goes unpunished. So no matter what you do, there's a cost. When people know I give money away, they sometimes troll me and spam me and pursue me to try and get money themselves. People, you know, I've had stuff nicked off me. Obviously, if you've got a really expensive watch in London, you're a threat. So there's always a cost. But I'd much rather have that cost than be broke and ignorant and make loads of mistakes and spend years in failure.
Just on the getting stuff nicked, I've seen you walk around the office with an RM left in a different room.
Yeah, so Richard Meal, like... for those that don't know, Richard Meal, go and do your research on how much a gold one of those is.
It costs more than my house. And Rob's in a different building.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been quite fortunate. I've left watches everywhere. I just take them off because I don't want to scratch them. Mm. So I literally just take them off. I'll often just put them on a tissue. And yeah, then I've just left them around. Now, in Dubai, apparently you can do that and it's fine.
Yeah.
You can have it on your arm in London and it'll get hacked off.
Yeah, I'll never wear a watch in London. The Dubai thing's real. I was there recently and I've never felt safer. Like my girlfriend, I wouldn't mind her walking around there. It's kind of weird because everyone's rich.
Yeah.
More G-Wagons and I've had hot dinners.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Don't you think G-Wagon is just the most ridiculous looking drug dealer car?
That's your kind of car, isn't it?
No.
Stand out a bit.
It's not my kind of car. Like I bet you like them, don't you?
I don't mind them.
Ah, mother, it's your kind of car.
Yeah.
If that doesn't say drug dealing, pimp, porn star, I don't know what does.
There's just not many good looking 4x4s though.
I've got an Audi RS Q8. That's way better looking.
It's probably would win in a straight line.
It would win around a corner.
Yeah.
It would win loading up. Maybe the G-Wagon's better for loading up your shopping. it would win for understated class. It would win performance metrics on all levels. It would win on braking speed. In fact, luxury-wise, Duncan will tell you, he drives it. That thing's like a spaceship. It's got way more features. The G-Wagon interior is a bit like...
Well, it's the same as the A-Class, which is the tricky thing.
So I just think anyone who's got a G-Wagon is a mug.
Mm. I'd take your Lamborghini.
And how much are these, like, petrol-guzzling 6 miles to the gallon...
The top
63
G's. Yeah,
200 bags?
More, because you can't get them, so you have to get them secondhand. So the markup on it is pretty hefty. Yeah.
What? I don't get it. I don't get it. And also, like, I get that some people don't want to go under the radar. Some people want to get noticed. You know, for what I do, I kind of need to be a bit showy. Yeah. I'd actually rather not be, but I kind of need to be. But, like, if you're avoiding any tax or you don't want to be seen, the G-Wagon is the worst car. Mm.
I think that's what made him popular, because in America, it's a tax write-off.
What, because of the weight of it?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So we've got Taycans, and they've got G-Wagons.
Right, I don't know the rules in America, but if someone's writing off a load of tax or got a big tax break, that's a different thing. That could be smart. Yeah. So I might have to take my words back. Yeah. Although my son's like, I want a G-Wagon. Daddy, get a G-Wagon. I'm like, you're 13, why do you want a G-Wagon?
Turns into a music video.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So what's the money misconception that pisses you off more than anything?
Money doesn't make you happy.
You seem pretty happy.
Yeah, because I'm rich. I mean, I can tell you this. When I'm not getting paid, I'm way less happy. When I'm getting paid, I'm way more happy. Problems are much less significant when money isn't the problem. Money isn't everything, but everything is better with money. Money might not make you happy, but being broke will make you depressed. So this is the big misconception. This is why I push on this. This is why people think I'm controversial. I don't think I'm controversial. So many smart people who are quite wealthy say, well, money doesn't buy happiness, but money makes everything better. Anyone challenge me, any area of your life, how does money make it worse?
How about people saying there shouldn't be billionaires? Does that piss you off?
To say there shouldn't be anything is a delusion, because what is. To say that it shouldn't be is to say, I don't understand how the universe works and I have a fantasy that it should be a different way. So if I notice myself saying shoulda, woulda, coulda, I actually realize I am in delusion mode and I either need to change or accept. So saying there shouldn't be billionaires is like saying there shouldn't be trees, there shouldn't be frogs, and there shouldn't be cameras. There are. So go fuck yourself. There are billionaires. But, you know, because I could say there shouldn't be brokies. But the thing with the billionaires is, look at what they, in nearly every case, did. Worked fucking hard for a long time, had a grand vision, created a product that millions of people want. Now, you can judge the product. I said this openly, I don't like gambling as a product. But I respect the fact that someone managed to sell that product to millions of people. And so I respect that. I don't like Teslas over other cars, but I totally respect how Elon Musk sold the ugliest car out there and made billions doing it. So to disrespect billionaires is to say you don't respect hustle, work, scalability, vision, solutions, you know, dealing with intense personal pressure and responsibility. So the only way that there are not billionaires is to restrict progress, and that's called communism. So in communist states, when people get too powerful, they steal all of their assets. And does anyone think that communist states are happier and healthier and wealthier when you steal from those who earned it and give it to those who didn't? Communism is not a successful state, not in my opinion. And if anyone wants to challenge me, fine, put it in the comments. But I mean, I complain a lot about how the UK has gone, but at least it's not a communist state. At least I own my real estate and they're not stealing it from me because I did well. And how can it be good for society where people who do well are punished and people who do badly are rewarded. That's what communism is, and that's what taking money from billionaires are. Now, I admit that massive corporations have too much power, and they're this globalist regime, and many of the things going on are not good for society. But it's the government's responsibility to govern. Now, okay, the billionaires have power over the governments, but all we need is someone who can't be bought to come in, do the right thing, and be smart and get the billionaires on side and say, hey, look, you know, you're taking the piss, but, you know, I'm really grateful for what you've done for the nation. I'm not going to come here and steal your billions, but we need to work together. So you need to pay me a bit more of this tax. And, you know, we need to just shut this down and shut this down, but work with me. Someone came in to, because for all the things that people hate about Donald Trump, he's an entrepreneur, and he came in and he brought entrepreneurial business people into the government. And I thought that that was really good. And Margaret Thatcher was equally loved and hated in the UK, but her favorite cabinet minister was an entrepreneur investor. And she said he was the only one. She loved him the most because he brought solutions and everyone else brought problems. And entrepreneurs bring solutions, and people on welfare, and people say, oh, billionaires, there shouldn't be them. I should have the billionaires' money, but I should sit on my ass doing nothing. What do you bring if you're on welfare illegitimately? Because, you know, there's a few people who are genuinely disabled, but most people are taking the fucking piss. Most people aren't depressed. They're just living the tribulations of life. I feel fucking shit, probably on a daily basis, but definitely on a weekly basis. I've never taken a pill to relieve a pain in the last 10 years other than extreme migraine, just so I can fucking see. And I have never taken antidepressants, and I never fucking will. I don't even take paracetamol or codeine because I want to own it and be responsible. And yeah, at times I feel fucking shit, but I'm not depressed. I'm just a human. And so this is all wrong, wanting to take from the rich to give to the poor. By the way, we already do. It's called taxes because broke people don't pay much tax. Oh, but percentages, it doesn't matter. If you pay a higher percentage than me, but I pay a billion and you pay a pound, but you pay a high percentage, that doesn't make you better. I'm paying more money. So no, like what we need to do with the billionaires is get them on side, get them to pay a bit more, get them in government, advising government, and have a relationship between the billionaires and the government. And what we need to do is get all the people who are broken on welfare working. Because I'm going to challenge anyone who's ever been on welfare. Did that make you happy or not? To be given money by society because you couldn't work or you chose not to work. How did that make you feel? Did you have high self-worth? Did you feel good? Did you have a spring in your step? Or did honestly you feel shit? To be dependent. When I was broken, I was dependent on my parents age 26. I felt shit. So I don't think it's good for anyone.
Do you think these really big corporations like the Apple or Nikes are just too big to control now? Like even if you did get someone in on side, if they just threatened to, okay, we'll move overseas then. And we'll have tens of thousands of people unemployed.
Well, not even the biggest armies in the world and even the biggest empires in the world, they are fallen in the end. Have you seen the film and heard about the 300?
Yeah.
So it can take 300 really motivated, smart warriors to defeat an entire army. So to have the attitude that there's no point because they're too big, I don't like that attitude because nothing will ever change. This is why I do all my rants on Facebook. This is why I vote with my feet. This is why I campaign. I'm only one. I've got, just under 3 million followers and subscribers. I'm not Donald Trump. I'm not Mark Zuckerberg. I'm not Elon Musk, but I am me. And maybe if I mobilize just 100 people and they mobilize just 100 people, well, then maybe we have a small army. Because you know what? If they locked us down without hard evidence that it's good for humanity, and if they tried to stick a needle in me without hard evidence that that's good for humanity, I'm going down to London and I'm whooping everyone up on my lives and I'm fucking campaigning because I'm not having it. So no, we must stand up for what's right and we mustn't just say, well, because they're so powerful already, there's nothing we can do, so I'm just going to put my head down and have my job and pay my taxes and be a good boy and be a good citizen. There's no progress with that.
You say money can buy happiness. A lot of what I'm getting from that is in the pursuit. Do Do you think people could be unhappy then if they won it? Like lottery winners?
Yeah, so the thing that people don't understand about money and emotions is they're separate. So you can be happy and rich. You can be happy and broke. You can be unhappy and rich. We all know the stories of those, although they're not as common as people make out. And you can be unhappy and broke. But you can also be rich and happy sometimes and unhappy sometimes. Broke and happy sometimes and unhappy sometimes. And vice versa. And also define happiness. So if you're talking about long-term self-worth, which to me, the greatest sense of happiness is long-term self-worth and respecting and loving myself. And that comes from progress. For me, men and women are different. Other humans are different. I can only speak to me at this stage. But you know that temporary happiness you get when you were going to do something hard and you copped out? Or when you ate a chocolate bar? Or you went out and had a drink and relaxed and, this feels good. That feels good in the moment. And the next day when you've got the hangover, the guilt and the, the thrill. You know, some people find happiness in the exhilaration and the thrill of, chasing orgasms or chasing drugs highs or, needing an extreme life and big risks, jumping out of airplanes, all of those things. That's not happiness. That is chasing fleeting, addictive emotions. So first of all, you've got to define happiness. Because for me, contentment isn't happiness. I thought it was. I thought I wanted passive income so I could do nothing and be paid. I now know I'd rather do a lot and be paid more. So I exchange my time for assets, yes, but I do also exchange my time for money because it makes me feel good. You know, we had a big weekend at the Moneymaker Summit. We ran 3 events in the weekend. I wasn't at 2 of them, but I was at 1 of them and I was speaking in front of hundreds of people and I did lots of slots and I must have signed 400 books. Just kept signing and I worked fucking hard that weekend and did 700 grand in a weekend and I felt fucking good.
I bet you did.
Really fucking good. And not just because of the payday, because by the way, that's got to go. There's got to be tax on that and staff paid, so it's not all in my pocket. But I felt like we achieved something. We had a mission. You know, I did some hard things. We created a sense of community and togetherness. We inspired nearly 250 people. Well, no, actually across the 3 events, nearly 400 people. So you've got to define happiness and you've got to know that there's moments of happiness and moments of unhappiness. There's moments of contentment and moments of frustration. So define happiness and then use money to fuel whatever the happiness is. And know the difference between the fleeting short-term dopamine-y type stuff and then the longer term. I understand, look, I'm not a scientist, but that serotonin and dopamine are very different. And, I think there's 4 happiness drugs that we receive chemically within us. And dopamine's that addicting, chasing, highly charged, exhilarating high, but then you get the crash. And that's what's triggered when you're swiping and scrolling and, when you take drugs. And that chase, I actually like that. And at times that's really rewarding, but I know it's fleeting. And I have to be careful not to get addicted to that. But I'm looking for long-term fulfillment. And to do that, you have to have a mission. No one is fulfilled doing nothing. It's got the word fill in it, i.e. to fill. And, we do this content and at the end we feel fulfilled, i.e. we did something valuable. If we're like, I just did 5 minutes and it was a bit shit and now we can go home, that's nice, we've knocked off an hour early. We'd feel happy in the moment that we got an hour. But we wouldn't feel fulfilled when we got back that we did good content. In fact, we finished on time and we're doing more because we want to feel full that what we did was valuable. Now, men and women are different because we're made biologically different. And this is more prevalent in men. But the greatest thing for a sense of long-term fulfillment is a mission. And my mission is to help as many people on this planet get better financial knowledge. And I've been doing that for 15 years and I'm going to do it for another 50. And that gives me more energy than any food can. That keeps me awake longer than sleep can or any kind of substitute coffee can. I can work 24 hours straight on a mission. I can't even work an hour on something I hate doing. So people don't talk about mission enough in the way that it's energizing. So it's your responsibility to find out what's meaningful to you in your life. it's your responsibility to find your purpose, but the purpose is not happiness.
It's funny, isn't it? Maybe
happiness is the reward, it's not the purpose. We're not meant to be happy. Happiness is the reward for doing something meaningful that helped us grow. Like a mum will feel the most sense of happiness when she's really done something meaningful for her children. Mm. And that meaningful thing for her children will be fucking hard.
Yeah. It's like any emotion. You're never permanently anything.
No. So this is, money does or money doesn't make you happiness is nonsense. Both sides are nonsense, by the way. Mm. I've just made nonsense that money doesn't make you happy, but I could also make nonsense that money does make you happy, because all emotions are feedback to the environment. Therefore, like you said, they move. Mm. And in an hour, you could feel 42 different emotions, 85 different times. All emotions are feedback. So generally, to move towards pleasure or away from threat. Because here's the thing, people think negative emotions are bad. Frustration, anger, guilt. Do you know what? If you're broke, frustration, anger, and guilt are great emotions. Shame, what a powerful emotion. Because happiness and contentment and a little bit of a dopamine hit, that's not made you rich. But shame, what a great emotion to feel dirty and filthy as a human because you're broke, as a motivator to go and do something meaningful. That's what I felt when I was 26. When I finally pulled my finger out of my ass. I mean, it wasn't happiness. It was the bullies at school that called me a cunt, a fat cunt. And the shame that I felt from that, you're gonna need to beep that, but that's what they said. They didn't say, oh, you're big boned, or don't worry, you're cuddly. The people who were nice to me, I liked them, but they didn't motivate me. But the people that called me a fat, ugly cunt, they're the ones that got me losing weight. They're the ones that I still carry that emotion with. And that drove me to be rich. So they did me a favor.
I bet you still remember their name, don't
you?
So
thank you, motherfuckers. I remember all their names. Yeah. And I'm richer than all of them.
Combined.
Yeah. So thank you. Like, your bullies are your best friends. Mm. But we label them bad. You know, we're not happy.
Have you seen this with your kids in school? So there's much more about participation now rather than, like, winners. Like things as simple as sports day. Have you seen the difference in generation of how people deal with?
Yeah, I mean, there's a movement towards, you know, we treat everyone equally. The problem is, if you treat everyone equally, you don't have progress. And here's the thing. Those that are wanting to be treated equally, what they actually mean is they want things to be fair. What they actually mean is, I want what they've got, but I don't want to have to work for it. That's what it actually fucking means. And that's ultimately rewarding failure. You have to reward victory and success to get progress. And everything that these entitled, wokey people take for granted. So the safety of their country is because someone dedicated 20 years of their life and sacrificed to work in the military to defend you, you entitled prick. My friend Mark Ormerod got his fucking arms and legs blown off serving our country. So this person can sit there and say, well, my kid was fifth, they deserve a medal, and I deserve to be on benefits and be given antidepressants for free because I'm depressed. Get your fucking legs and arms blown off and then tell me if you're really depressed. Now, look, there's a difference between someone who's being entitled and someone who's had a hard life. But usually the people that have had the hard life are the winners. Not the losers. Usually the people who are the losers, the people who had the easy life.
In my experience, the ones who've had the hardest upbringings are generally the happiest people I know.
That's interesting. Made from pain. Mm. Like, if you've had a hard life, then you can see happiness and gratitude in small things. If you're starving, you're happy for a tiny morsel of food. And, you know, my wife throws out food a week before the Best Buy date.
I love it.
I know, she's like, oh, that was opened an hour ago and you put a spoon in the yogurt and then you ate it and throws it in the bin. But if you've been starving in a concentration camp for a month, you'd eat it a month out of date and you'd be fucking grateful.
Of course you would.
So actually, forget being entitled, forget being woke, do some hard shit. And I'm trying to embrace a lot more now doing, I mean, I do hard shit all the time. But, you know, my monkey brain, oh, I don't want to spar tonight. Oh, I don't want to face that difficult conversation. There's always the monkey brain because we're looking for the easiest route. But you've got to own your monkey brain and just go, okay, my monkey brain's talking me out of doing that hard thing. That's why I have to do that hard thing. Pick up the phone, make the sales call, even if you're scared of rejection. Do some content on social media, even if you've not done it before. Have the hard conversation with your husband or your wife that's been building for years, but you haven't had the courage to say. Go through some short-term pain. Hard now, easy later. Easy now, hard later.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. Always a pleasure.